Here's one that you might be asked at a table quiz. How many songs in the Gospels are associated with the birth of Jesus? Well, the answer is that there are four, and I've just listed them there. I'm not going to speak about them all today. You have Mary's song, the Magnificat, picking up on a very, very old Latin translation. Zechariah's song, which we're thinking about today, known sometimes as the Benedictus. The angel's song, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. And Simeon's song, Nunc Dimittis, in chapter 2. So those are four little songs that you could profitably meditate on over this Christmas season. Today, we are going to think, as you already will know, on Zechariah's song. Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth and the father of John, who grew up to be John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus. And basically, what I want to do, is, as we think about this song of Zechariah, is just show you four pictures. Because this song is a picture of an opening of a door. It has the picture of a battle. It has the picture of something being cancelled. And it has the picture of a dawn. So I just want to take a moment on each of these. The opening of a prison door. If you've got your Bible open, look at what it says. Verse 67 says, "His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied." And that's where the Benedictus bit comes from. He prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel." Praise, Benedictus. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people." The word redeemed, as some of you will know, has the idea of buying back through the payment. Some of you may remember, a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent speaking about going into a shop to pawn something back. It was the idea of redeeming it back. You pay something and you get it back. The word to redeem also means in the New Testament the idea of setting free. And we think of another passage just across in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus stands up and he says, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." So look at that picture. That is a picture of the gospel. And when Zechariah was singing this song or speaking this song, he says, "Praise be to the Lord because he has come and he has redeemed his people." He has bought them back. He has set them free. And it is the picture of the opening of a door. The opening of a door through which someone who was up until that moment held in captivity, and the opening of the door signals that they are now free to go out through that door. Folks, remember this. When Jesus came, it signaled the opening of a prison door. I wonder, and we can all think of situations, maybe first and foremost in our own hearts, and then think of other situations, how many there are today who need to hear the message that Christ Jesus is able to open the prison door. He's able to open the door and set us free. Now, some of you are maybe literally thinking of a prison situation. That's not even primarily what I'm thinking about at all. Because it's a picture of how we can all be held captive by many things. How many people are there in our society here today in the Kingdom of Mourn who are captive to sin? They don't even realize that they're captive to sin. Maybe captive to some addiction, held captive by this. Well, here's the good news. Christ Jesus is able to set the prisoner free. When we come with our addictions and our sins and the things that weigh us down and threaten to hold us, Christ is able to set us free. Zechariah says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and he has redeemed his people." Yes, sometimes there can be many a struggle, there can be many a setback, many a disappointment, but we still can sing. We didn't sing it today. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. And maybe you need to go home today, maybe in your own situation or some other situation, speak freely into your own heart or into somebody else's heart of the power of the blood of Christ and the death and resurrection of Christ to set the prisoner free. Bring these things to the Lord and know the freedom that he brings. The opening of a prison door. There's another picture painted here. Don't be too distracted by the picture of the hobbit. It was just an example of a battle. The winning of a battle is spoken of here. Look at verse 69. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. The horn was in the Bible a symbol of power and strength. And very often in the Old Testament, the horn was a symbol of a victory in battle. Now, if I was to ask you today, when you think of a battle, what battles come to mind? If you're interested in history, maybe different ones. Maybe the Battle of Alesia, if you know your Roman history. The famous Battle of Jerusalem, or infamous maybe. The Battle of the Boyne. The Battle of Trafalgar. The Battle of the Somme. The Battle of the Bulge. So we could go on and on. Or maybe you prefer to think of some of the fictional battles in the storybooks, whether it's the Battle of the Five Armies up in front of you or something like that. Or maybe you want to think of something more political. Dare I say, am I allowed to mention the B word? The Battle of Brexit continues. Anyway, enough said about that. The winning of a battle is what Zechariah speaks about here. He says, God has raised up a horn of salvation. In other words, God has won a great battle. Now, I suspect that Zechariah did not even fully understand all the depths of what he was saying in this song. In the coming of Christ, a horn of salvation has been raised up. And the wonder of the gospel is, and this is why I was praying at the beginning of the service, that we would grasp these things in a deeper way, folks. We really need to take time, to carve out time in the approach to Christmas, just to be still and to know that God is God, and just to remind ourselves of what the gospel's all about. And the gospel is all about Jesus coming and winning a great battle over sin, and over death, and over hell itself. I think it was last week we sang those lovely words from that hymn that is so appropriate both for Christmas and for Easter, from the Squalor. Do you remember some of the words? Through the kisses of a friend's betrayal, he was lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgressions. He was suffering to save the lost. He fights for breath. He fights for me, loosing sinners from the chains of hell. And with a shout, our souls are free. Death defeated by Emmanuel. Folks, death defeated by Emmanuel. The winning of a battle. Zechariah says God has raised up a horn of salvation. The third picture that's painted here is the cancelling of a debt. Look at verse 77. To give his people, well, verse 76, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord, before Jesus, to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Forgiveness is the cancelling of a debt. Let me give you a wee illustration here that might help us with this. I don't know if you would have known, some of you may know this, that in the 18th and 19th centuries, there were an awful lot of people in this country, and maybe particularly, I mean, over in Britain, there were an awful lot of people who were in prison because they got into debt. In fact, it is a shocking statistic that back in the 18th century, there was something like 10,000 people every year, put into prison because they were in debt. That's a bit of a shock, isn't it? And indeed, you may have heard of the notorious prison in South London. It was called the Marshalsea. And it housed a variety of prisoners, including lots and lots of people who were there for no other reason than that they were in debt. In fact, another interesting little statistic which ties in with Christmas is that Charles Dickens, famous for his Christmas Carol, which I'm sure if tradition follows its course, the man's family will try to watch this coming week. We all have our little traditions. The father of Charles Dickens ended up in the Marshalsea because he got into debt. And I think that's one of the reasons why Dickens wrote another little novel, not so well known, called Little Dorrit, which deals with all of that issue. But why am I saying that? I'm just trying to illustrate that debt is still a major problem. You might not literally be thrown into prison today so quickly for being in debt, but it's still a problem. And we could use all sorts of more modern day illustrations of how people get into debt. But at a spiritual level, understand this, that at a spiritual level, you and I are in debt. You and I are in debt spiritually. We owe something, if you like, to God that we cannot pay. And the simple little chorus or hymn that sometimes we sing with the children sums it all up. What is the gospel? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long, for Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. The psalmist says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And Zechariah says, there's one coming who will bring the forgiveness of sins. And it was Billy Graham, I've quoted this very often, Billy Graham, who said that forgiveness is the most wonderful word in the English language. To know that you're forgiven. To know that across your life and the debt that you owe to God is written the word cancelled because of Jesus. Folks, do you see that? Take time this week in the midst of all the Christmas stuff that you have to do. Carve out time just to get down on your knees or sit at the side of your fire and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for cancelling my debt. And there's another picture here that's painted. It's the dawning of a new day. the dawning of a new day. Look at what it says in verse 7-8. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. And Zechariah speaks of the rising of the sun. Who or what is that sun? Well, it's S-O-N, it's the sun, Jesus. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Folks, these pictures that I'm trying to draw out from this song remind us again of what the gospel is all about. Do you see it? And yet there is a sense in which we need to be revived and renewed in seeing these things. Maybe that's an appropriate moment. Let me just keep you in the loop about something, God willing, that's coming next year. Our moderator, Dr. McMullen, has called the church to a special week of prayer from the 3rd to the 10th of February 2019. He's calling every congregation to give themselves to prayer in a fresh way. And let me just quote you something. Allow me to do this just so that everybody's in the loop. He has written a letter to ministers, and he quotes the words of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And how we desperately need that in these days, don't we? And he says this, I'll just quote this. He says, if we're true to being followers of Jesus Christ, then surely there must be a sense of holy dissatisfaction, a longing for something more. Perhaps this call to prayer is for us not to settle for the status quo, but for God to make available to us the same kind of power that energized the early church. The dawning of a new day. And whilst ultimately the coming of Christ was the dawning of the new day, there is a sense, I believe, that for every Christian believer, that there needs to be a longing for a dawning of another new day. A new experience. A new freshness. A new inspiration in walking with Christ in these very challenging days in which we live. And unless God comes by his Holy Spirit to revive and to renew, then we'll struggle in and of ourselves. So folks, as I finish today, there's the four pictures. There's Zechariah's song. Allow your mind just to capture them. The opening of a prison door. Rejoice in the freedom that Christ gives. The battle, the winning of the battle, Calvary. The empty tomb, death has been defeated, glory to God. The cancelling of a debt, your debts are cancelled spiritually if you're in Christ. The dawning of a new day. What a wonderful picture, which inspires us to long for a fresh dawning with each new day, that we might know God in a deeper way and know the power of his Holy Spirit. Let me pray with you. Father, we just pray that these words and these pictures from Zechariah's song, that they would touch our hearts, Lord, that we would rejoice in the freedom that we have in Jesus, that we would rejoice that the battle has been won, it's finished, that we would rejoice that the debt has been paid in Jesus, that we would rejoice that there is hope, there's the dawning of a new day. Lord, may these pictures touch our hearts as we go through this week and the approach to Christmas, and may we not be too busy to think about these things. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to appropriately sing, "Joy to the World, the Lord is Come."